Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Let's turn to chapter 35. Yeah? Okay, chapter 35. Jacob had, safely passed, through the the land of Canaan. So he came to obviously Bethel. But in this chapter 35 alone, two bereavements. But you find that, like what we said before, the trial, the test on Jacob, were unceasing. They kept coming, right? Now, another incident which griefly obviously upset, it's a shame to the family, in this chapter. Now I want you to read verse 22. Chapter 35, verse 22. And it happened when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben, who is Reuben, went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. Israel heard about it. Now who is Reuben? Okay? The firstborn, isn't it? Yes. And Bilhah is what? The maid servant of which one? Rachel, isn't it? So obviously maybe she was a younger woman. So it's quite hard to to imagine. Yeah? Right? Now, if you look at the family of Jacob, now, if you look at it in all the sin committed, Okay, number one, what is that? Sin committed in the house of, in the family of Jacob. Anyone? Worship for no? Does the Bible say the worship? Yes, they have. Okay.
Idolatrous. They were idolatrous.
Okay, number two.
Brutal and cruel, isn't it?
They committed.
What do you call it if you kill an entire tribe? What is it? Genocide, isn't it? How do you spell it? G-E-N-O-I? How do you spell genocide?
Yes,
I know.
Okay.
Number three. They committed what?
I won't say they. Include what? Incest. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you read on, there are more.
What?
Trying to kill the old brother Joseph. He said betrayer, killing, and what, and lies. Right? Can see what he did in the family of Jacob. Unbelievable.
But these are the sins. Right. Now we come back, So this firstborn of Reuben, of Jacob, went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. Now I want you to, Jacob did not forget. He did not forget. Now what did he say to Reuben? I want to turn to chapter 49. Now, I want to look at verse 3 and verse 4. Now, Reuben, you are my firstborn, chapter 49, yeah? My might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, unstable as water, you shall not excel. It's like a curse. And why? Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. Right? And he went up to my couch. The father remembered, even though he was an old man. What did he do? Because he shall not excel. That's a sin committed by what? By Reuben. Okay. Now, we come back to chapter 35. Now, so the 12th son of Jacob were mentioned from verse 23 onwards to 26, right? Now, Leah actually had how many sons? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And Rachel, 2. Bilhah, 2. Zilpah, 2. Right? So Leah has given birth to the most children. Huh? Now, Jacob, yeah, after that he came to his father, right? He came to his father. It's like to meet his father. But the Bible never said that he met what? The mother. Right? Now, if you look at verse 27, then Jacob came to his father, Isaac, at Mamre. At that point, the father was still alive. Now, verse 29 talks about his death. So Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his soul. And his son Esau and Jacob buried him. Right? So they came and buried the father. Right? But he never got to see the mother. Right? The mother has died a long time ago. Okay, so sad. Can you see? Yeah, because of lies, because of betrayal, because of mistrust, whatever. Yeah? And the family basically was split up. Now, class, I think every story, yeah, given in the scriptures is with a purpose, and obviously according to Romans is for our learning, and we obviously pray that history will not repeat itself on us. We do not want this to happen in our children, you know, in the church, in the life of our brothers and sisters. We don't want to see this happen. Right? Now, that's why when you study all this story, you should bear in mind that these are the pitfalls, these are the snares, you know. If we are not careful, if we are not, you know, cultivated, then what? The same thing can happen to us as well. Right? So very important. Yeah. So you know, from young you must learn to forget about yourself. Don't think too much about yourself. You know, if you always think about yourself, I like this, I don't like this, then you end up having a lot of problem later on in your life. I'm telling you. Right? So from now on, you must learn to think more about others, not yourself. Okay, when you look at all these problems, yeah, most of them, you know, happen because why? These people were too self-willed. Always think about themselves. That's the problem. Okay? Now, again, we said, yeah, the church does not want to see youngsters behaving badly in the church. Right? We don't want to see this. We want all of you to be good, to be God-fearing, to be obedient to God. Okay? Is that clear? Right? Now, we move to chapter 36. I'm still trying to figure it out why chapter 36 is included here, because it talks about the family of Esau. Okay, now I think if you trace the history all the way down to even to the book of Obadiah, and you find that it has been a problem. The family of Esau or the Edomite have been a problem to the existence of Israel. Okay, now I think here it's mentioned, it's not without reasons. It's not without reason, because eventually, if you look at some of the messages given in the prophetic books, is that Edomite must also be saved as well. Right? Just want to find. Okay. Just look at one example. I want to turn to Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. We read verse 12. Verse 11 and verse 12. Now, traditionally speaking, the church always used these two verses to talk about the restoration of the end time true church. That is our belief. Okay. Now, if you look at the contents given here, it says that apart from raising up the damages and the ruins of the tabernacle of David, in verse 12 it also says that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does these things. Alright? Now, you find that in the process of restoring the church of God, we must take possessions of the remnant of Edom. Now, who are the Edomites? Or what do they represent? Yeah? Now, I want you to turn to Ezekiel. Chapter 25. Now, chapter 25, verse 12. Thus says the Lord, because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and has greatly offended by avenging itself on them. Okay? Now, so you find that sometimes you see Edomites in the church, people who, always avenge for themselves or who take revenge. Who show these characteristics of being very vengeful, right? They are just like what? Edomite. Okay? Now, but to rebuild the church of God, we need to what? Win over them. Okay? Now, if you look at the example of Jacob, Jacob, forget about the wrong that he has done, and obviously the wrong was initiated by the mother. Right? The mother said you should go and deceive your father. Okay? Now, look at the way that Jacob won over his brother. Okay? Now, so, that's why I believe it's not without reasons why this section of the scriptures is included. Okay? But is this Edomite were listed amongst the what? Amongst the history of the four patriarchs. Now, if you look at Jacob, how did Jacob overcome? Now, obviously, forget about the wrong that he has done. He trusted in God. And he clung on to God. He held on to God. That's how he overcame. How Jacob won his brother over. Right? Now the second thing is what you find there is a marked change in the behavior of what of Jacob as well, the way he spoke, the way he treated his brother, and also you find that
like he was so courteous to his brothers, build up the fort. He changed his behavior. Find that these two elements here are crucial elements here for us to win over our so-called enemies in the church, right? People who have treated you badly or whatever. First, you must trust in God, like what Jacob did, right? Now, secondly, you must show that you have changed yourself. That's why you find that he even bowed down before his brothers, right? It's like he sent him gift to appease him, you know, wanting to make friends with him. I think in the church we need to do the same. Right? If, let's say, there's someone whom you do not like, okay? Now you cannot just live that on and on and on, that kind of situation for a long time. We need to do our best. If we have done our best, yeah? And the situation has not turned for the good, for the better, then the problem is not with you. You understand what I'm saying? But at least you must do your best. What are you going to do? Go and talk to the person in a nice way. Yeah? You understand what I'm saying? Right? Be gentle, be kind, and be nice. You'll find that once you overcome then you are able to speak to the person. This is how we can build up the church of God. Sometimes we see too many cliques and too many groups in the church. They're out there not for the good of the church. Talking about it. That's not the right way. Huh? The way to build up the church is by winning over the Edomites. Or the Edomites. That's the way. That's why this section of the scriptures, I believe, is mentioned. It's with the reasons. Okay, now we turn back to Genesis. Okay, now we come to chapter. I want to skip chapter 37 first. I want to look at chapter 38. Huh? Now here is another problem in the family of Jacob. You know, the father-in-law slept with what? The daughter-in-law. You get what I'm saying? Judah slept with his daughter-in-law. Judah, is that also? Yeah? Okay, let's go through it first. And then tomorrow we start with the story of Joseph. Yeah. Joseph. Okay, now we look at chapter 38. Now here it talks about after some time, yeah? So, what is that? Judah saw a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. Verse 2. And he married her and went in to her, okay? Like Judah married to a Canaanite woman. So obviously she conceived and bore a son. And now look at verse 4. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. Now, she actually had three sons, yeah, by who? By Judah. Now, I want you to look at verse 6. Eh? Now, obviously, after a period of time, yeah, all the children have grown up. Now, then Judah took a wife for her, his firstborn, and the name was Tamar. Okay, Tamar? Now, what happened? But Judah, firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord, what? Killed him. Now this happened in the family. You know, it's quite unbelievable. If you list out all the tragedies, you know, all the crimes, whatever, all the sin committed in the family, it's quite unimaginable. Right here, basically, the Bible said God killed him. Why? Because he was a wicked man. And exactly how wicked he was, in what way he was wicked, the Bible does not talk about it. Right? But it's like a summary. This guy was wicked, so God killed him. Right now, the story is this, okay? Within the household of God, everyone has to behave decently within the household of God. And we cannot take things for granted. We cannot be self-willed, you know, thinking that we can do what we want. We need to understand God is in control and God is in the family. Right? And God can even kill, meaning punish the wicked. And in the true Jesus Church, we have seen so many cases of this nature. Right? How believers and even full-time workers or whatever were punished by God. Okay, so we cannot take this for granted. Yeah? We have been given the truth, we have known about the truth, and we have been trained up and have been equipped with the understanding that we need to be God-fearing in the household of God, in our life, right? Even in society, in uni or whatever, we have to conduct ourselves in propriety. That is the lesson, right? Very important lesson. Now, very unfortunately, you find that two out of his three sons were actually very wicked. You know, the tradition of the time is that if the firstborn died without having a child, then the secondborn son must marry the sister-in-law, yeah, in order to preserve a line for or a seat for the deceased brother. Right? That is the tradition. And obviously the second son was not very happy about that and he didn't do accordingly. Then what happened? God killed him. Right? I want you to read verse 10. Yeah, and the things which he did displeased the Lord, therefore he what? Kill him also. Right? This happened what? In the house of Jacob. In the family of Jacob. Chapter 38 verse 10. So he killed him. Now, so as the story continued to unfold itself, you find that actually Judah was quite afraid now. Yeah, he didn't want the third son also died, in a manner identical to the two sons. Okay, now that's why he said he sent Tamar away, his daughter-in-law, saying that you should remain a widow in your father's house till my son, Shelah is grown. Okay. Now, I want you to read verse 12. Verse 12, yeah? Now, in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. The wife died. And Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah. He and his friend, Ahira the Adullamite. Now, the wife passed away. Okay? Now, I think to mention that the wife passed away obviously is with a reason, to tell us that it seems that Judah was not a very disciplined person. Okay? Now, because the daughter-in-law was a Canaanite, in those days, these people, they could do anything. Right? Now, what did she do? Now, I want you to read verse 14, yeah? So she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given to him as a wife. So she was waiting for this husband of hers to come to her
And she waited and waited, and it seems that, you know, Judah, you know, did not actually do anything about it. So she came up with an idea, a very wicked one, okay? Obviously. Now, I want to look at verse 15. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. And then the sin, obviously, right? Now again, it happened in the household of Jacob. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, so when you look at the behavior, it's like God is not in the midst. Or like they didn't really believe in God at all. Right? Now, no wonder God killed them one by one. Kill them. You understand what I'm saying now? Yep. Now, I want you to come back. Now, this lady was a very a shrewd one, very clever lady. So, obviously, you know, it's like if she acted like a harlot, right, the wages must be given to her. So she asked for something. Now, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, verse 18, your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. It's quite hard to imagine, isn't it? Yeah. What kind of sin is that? Incest, yeah? Incest. Okay. Now, so, you know, she went away, you know, after a while, and then people said to Jacob, Judah, look, your daughter-in-law has played the harlot. And obviously he was very angry. Now look at the response, yeah, the reaction from Judah. Verse 24. And it came to pass about 3 months after that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out and let her be burned. That was... And obviously this lady was very clever. And she said to Judah, hey, excuse me, do you recognize this? Hello? Do you recognize this? Do you know where it came from? From you. Right? Now, what did Judah say? Verse 26. Read verse 26. 26. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Shelah my son, and he never knew her again. Now, who was more sinful? Judah, obviously. Right? Judah. You find that the entire family was like rotten, practically. Now, obviously it brings up an issue that we need to think about, yeah? If Judah was so corrupt, was so rotten, then why did Jesus choose to be born from that line? Okay? Something to think about, yeah? We can discuss probably tomorrow, yeah? Now, so, and that is the end of the story. Again, you know, I ask myself this question, why is this chapter inserted in between the story of Joseph? Why is the intention? What is the purpose? Anyone? You want to make a guess? Eh? Fulfill the promise. No, you know the story of Joseph begins from what? Chapter 37, yeah? Right? And the next time we see the story of Joseph is in chapter 39. Is that not true? Then why chapter 38? Anyone? Why chapter 38? What is the purpose? Okay, you want to tell us that the situation at the time was very wicked. Okay.
for now.
Yes, I think that's the idea, okay? Now, when you look at chapter 39, you see the godliness of Joseph. He did not sin, yeah? Even though when he was tempted. But that is a sharp contrast. It's no longer a comparison, okay? It's a contrast. Okay?
Now, so, I think it brings out something very important. Judah and family, right? In freedom, okay? And here Joseph, in slavery, you know? Yeah? He was sold as a slave, okay? Now, here, you find that what? Corruption, and therefore, God destroyed him. Corruption and sin. Yeah? Now, here we find that this guy in confinement, some sort of slavery. Yeah? And what happened to him? God knows. Then, what do you get? God protected him.
Is that also?
Yeah.
Now, so never mind. So you can think about this. Yeah. So what is life to you then?
What is life?
If we want to define life, yeah, based on the book of Genesis, or based on these two examples given, what is life to you?
What is life?
Now, life is not about what you can do. You know. Life is not about what you want to do. Okay. Now, when you piece these two examples together, you string them together, you'll find that life is about what? Fearing God. No matter where you are, it doesn't really matter. Even if you are in prison, it doesn't matter. The matter is what? Your relationship with God that matters the most.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can stay in the best hotel, whatever, you go to the best place in the world to have holiday, but if corruption creeps in, yeah, that is condemnation. Alright, now class, again I said, yeah, you need to understand this. You're big enough, you're 18. You're old enough to understand. Alright. Is that clear? Life is not about what you eat. Life is not about what? Where you are. Life is about fearing God.
That's the fact of life. That's the
truth.
Yeah?
Okay?
Hello. I'm tired of you. My tongue tight. I can't speak anymore.
You are tall until I slur. Is that clear? Okay, any questions? That's the chapter. That's the chapter basically. Why is this there? Now, I'll discuss a bit more when you compare these two chapters, yeah, tomorrow. Okay, now you still have about 12 or 13 chapters to cover. So for the next 4 days, I only have 2 lessons with you per day. So probably I will cover 3 chapters a day. You know, 3 or 4 chapters. So I think on Friday I'll give you a test. I think it's easier because I'm not sure if some of you fail, then you have to resit. I have to give you a test on Saturday. Then you don't have to resit. No. If you fail, I mean. No. I can't let you escape. I'm a hard man with a good heart. Okay. Any question? No? I finished, basically. Now I'm trying to help you outline, to remember facts. Okay, any question? No, this is my class. Yeah? I hope that yeah, maybe I'll give you one more assignment, yeah, before your test, so we can make comparisons. Okay, now think about this while you're reading through the remaining chapters. Yeah, I want to ask you a question. You know Jacob, yeah? Jacob, Joseph, and Joseph's brothers. Now, who do you think has suffered the most based on the story? Who do you think has suffered the most? Now, the next assignment is. Very simple one. What I want you to do is to list down the suffering of each. You know suffering? So cool, huh? Including one. Afflictions, whatever, okay? List down. Okay, and then you have to draw a conclusion. Who has suffered the most? Practically, you have to read from chapter 27 on to chapter 50. Is that okay? All right, question? Yes, of course. Thank you for reminding me.
Of course, yeah.
Back up each event with verses or passages from Genesis. Okay? Alright, class, no question?
I'm happy to call you today.
Almost coming to an end.
Yeah. You know, after next year, I won't be teaching Genesis again. They've changed. What? Why? I don't want to teach. No more. Bye bye. Every year, Genesis. Yeah. Thank you.